webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 25th, 2010. The only second webcast of the Summer Pledge Drive 2-0-10 in the history of the Gospel Revolution. Welcome in on this midweek edition, this important edition of Gospel Revolution Wednesday night webcast. Sorry we were a few minutes late getting on. It was an emergency, and those things do happen. We have much to talk about, much to celebrate tonight, and watch your involvement too. The very harried, not Harry, but harried, Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We did have an emergency, but we're happy to report that the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams, and the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, Jeff Robertson, went into a serious intercessory prayer in the home offices in Houston, Texas. And, Michael, it worked.
It worketh. How is our bi-coastal host?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I am bi. I'm coming out tonight. I am bi. I was on the West Coast last week and the previous week and back on the East Coast of the United States of America. On this particular Wednesday, who the hell knows where you'll find me next week? I'm kind of like Waldo, ladies and gentlemen.
Or weirdo, maybe even an undisclosed location.
But let's get to the heart of the matter, the pressing issues of our day. And the top of priority list for tonight, frankly, is the continuation of this effort known as the Gospel Revolution. And we are in the second webcast, the eighth night, not of Hanukkah, but of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive. And we have much good news to report. We are somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 people, which would be a record for any webcast pledge drive that we've done, and around 4K. So people are, we're averaging right about $100 a person. We're trying to get to the big 100, which is 100 participants in this pledge drive at a total of $10,000. And, you know, Mikey, frankly, I couldn't be more thrilled.
No, it's awesome. You know, we started out this webcast with a contribution that was pretty well born out of listening to the Mike Williams anti-gospel video. And
anti-homosexual.
It was anti-everything.
It was pretty much an
anyway,
video.
As a result of that, we got a really gracious contribution from Pat Salonen. She said it just made her so mad she wanted to call and give money. So so maybe we still have that that passion going on, but whatever people's motives, the wonderful thing is that their contributions are very, very helpful. Regardless of the size, they're all appreciated, that's for sure. And it's just nice to see the list of names. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing. I looked on the email where we were catching up on the list of people, and it just kept going on and on. It's like, wow, this is a beautiful thing for sure, and I personally and all of the staff, everyone who is in this effort for the Gospel Revolution, which we're all really in this together, even the contributors, the listeners, everyone. This is a major revolution taking place in the history of Christianity, and seeing Christianity redefined to the point to where that we really actually understand that we just can't call ourselves Christians anymore. Let me speak for myself. I can't.
Yeah, Christianity, we're not redefining it, we're obliterating it, for God's sake.
It really is. That is a good correction. It and it needs to be obliterated because it has literally bastardized the work of the cross. It comes further and further, and you select your brand of Christianity, and you believe the Catholics bastardized the gospel, and Mormons bastardized the gospel, and the Jehovah Witnesses bastardized the gospel, but what is inconceivable is that your own version of Christianity, and I refer to Franklin Graham's definition of Christianity, and that is, it's like he said that I made reference to when we sent out the post, but he had said that you can be born a Muslim, you can be born a Jew, you can be born a Buddhist, but you can't be born a Christian. That you must go through a process to become a Christian, which is, he said, was confessing of sin and making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. And I've said for, quite some time, several years now, that I do not claim to be a Christian. But he gave a clarity to it. So the clarity was that a Christian is something you become on your own effort to be right with God. So I can't be a Christian. I can't. I cannot espouse to something that says relationship with God is to be attained by confessing of sins and making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, or believing, or any combination thereof. What an insult to the work of Jesus Christ, who by himself, between he and God the Father, resolved this issue between God and the human race without the human race's involvement. And it really is true. It really is true. I can't be a Christian because I was born into this earth righteous and holy and perfect, without fault, without blemish, just as everybody before the cross was born in sin because of the first Adam. And the last Adam is far superior to the first, and the one who terminated this this entire thing and brought an end to it all. And it's virtually impossible. The reality after Franklin Graham said that, like I said, even though I have not espoused to being a Christian in several years and declined to affirm that I am a Christian and affirmed I am not a Christian, but he made it so clear for me, Glenn, that Christianity is a pursuit of righteousness. It's a pursuit of holiness. It's a pursuit of relationship with God, and that's an insult to the cross, because the cross is not the means by which we pursue God and find God. The cross was the means by which God pursued the human race and found us, and he found us righteous and holy and perfect through his own work, through his own righteousness. I am very happy tonight to be able to affirm again and again and again, I am not a Christian, I won't be a Christian, I can't be a Christian, because I am a profound believer in the work of the cross.
That's awesome. in the context of what Franklin Graham said, he was talking about President Obama and how the seed of Islam was passed through the father,
yep,
and how the seed of Judaism is passed through the mother, but in the case of the Christian, there is no seed.
Yep.
Well,
God. How horrendous. Where's the seed of Abraham? My God, Where is the seed? Jesus Christ, the seed. That God said that he would give his seed and put it in the earth, and it would not return void. They are saying Christianity affirms, proclaims, doesn't affirm because it's not true, but it proclaims and insists that the seed returned void, that God's word returned void. And that's not true. The word, the seed, did not return void. God put it in the earth, and when Jesus returned from the grave, it returned completely valid and filled with the entire planet, the entire human race. And the wrath of God having been satisfied, all righteousness being fulfilled, all scripture having been completely fulfilled, there was nothing left.
All prophecy being fulfilled.
All prophecy
all
being fulfilled.
All sovereignty having been fulfilled.
Absolutely. All predestination having been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It was all done. We are free. We are empowered with life and with love and with greatness because we are one with God. And people that try to say that this gospel is leading people to hell, let me just say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. How can teaching people the love of God, the fact that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they are hopelessly and irrevocably made righteous and holy, turn somebody into an unbeliever? It causes people to be free to think. And let me tell you something. I know of at least three, that the very first time I shared the redemption of the world, the Buddhist, the scientist, and the atheist. I've told the story before, and they all three stood in a circle of people who, the very first time I shared this in the U.S. out in Denver, Colorado, and we stood in that little meeting hall. And all three of them happened to be in that meeting, unconnected to each other. And all three of them affirmed their firm belief that if what I was saying was true, then Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I know at least three people, that none of my contemporaries ever were able to reach. None of my contemporaries, and they're not even my contemporaries anymore. It's not even the same world. Preaching the gospel and Christianity aren't even in the same galaxy, Glenn.
No,
they don't even exist in the same planet.
Christianity is Antichrist, or better pronounced, Antichrist. Yes, I'll say it again, beautiful humans. Christianity is Antichrist.
Yep.
It is teaching a system that was in place before Christ, the cross, before the resurrection. And we're happy to give you the good news that the seed came to fruition.
Oh.
It blossomed into a beautiful race of human beings. The Bible said are more than the sands of the earth or the stars of the sky. And that's a lot. That's everybody. Jesus is Lord of all, and he didn't ask for permission. God didn't get man's ascension to the decision that he made to redeem the entire planet through what the Bible says, what the Scripture says, Michael, was through the seed of the woman. That was the initial prophecy that was given for the coming Redeemer, that as we interpret that the Redeemer would be born of a virgin.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is just amazing to listen to the ignorance of Franklin Graham's statement that he believes that Judaism can be passed on through the seed, even Islam can be passed on through the seed, but he doesn't believe righteousness can be passed through the seed of Jesus. Now, he believes Islam can be passed through the seed without the will of its descendants. He believes Judaism can be passed to the seed without the will of its descendants. But suddenly the seed of God himself is impotent? I don't get it. I stop and I listen. I listen to those who oppose the gospel. And I can't even say this gospel anymore. It's the gospel. I don't know of anything that comes near giving Jesus, as they all try to affirm. Oh, we're giving Jesus all the glory. Well, they stand there and take all the glory through confession of sins and self-justification through belief and all of these things, instead of accepting the completed, the affirming work of the cross, that the cross can make all the believers it needs. The believers cannot produce the validity of the cross. Why do we think that we can put mankind in such a position to be lord over God's seed? What is this? How can we possibly bear anything in our mouth that has anything to do with Scripture and place the validity of the seed of God himself in the abilities and the confessions of man? Ah, Jesus is the high priest of this confession. He is the high priest of the profession. We are not the high priest of anything. We are not those who confess anything and validate it. Jesus took his work, and any confession that needed to be done, Jesus made that confession before the Father when he raised from the dead. His confession validated his work. He confessed not what he believed about himself when he went before the Father, but he confessed what he believed about us. He confessed that he had brought us to the throne, holy, righteous, perfect, without fault and without blame. So if you want to rely on confession, make sure you rely on somebody's confession that counts.
Yeah.
Because his confession counted, Glenn. His confession, his work. You want to rely on somebody's work? Make sure you rely on his. If you want to rely on somebody's sacrifice, rely on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you want to rely on somebody's priesthood, rely on the priesthood of Jesus Christ. If you want to rely on a sacrifice, rely on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you want to rely on somebody's righteousness, rely on the righteousness of Christ. If you want to rely on anybody's obedience, rely on the obedience of Jesus Christ himself. And deliver yourselves out from under this ungodly self-righteousness that's being perpetrated on the earth through Christianity. We have got to speak this gospel strong. We've got to speak it without hesitation and without varying away from the power of the gospel of peace, the gospel of grace, and the revelation of God's righteousness. Because the voices in this planet are very strong. We're not being invited onto CNN to spew out the filth of Franklin Graham's doctrine. We're not being invited on CNN. I've not been invited to Oprah Winfrey. So, folks, if we're going to get this out, if I'm saying it clear, if I'm saying it good enough, then support what we're doing. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to vary away from the gospel. I'm not going to go to some vapid and empty, hollow, superficial spirituality like Carlton Pearson did. I'm not going there, folks. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. He is a believer in you and me. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. I believe he defeated death. I believe he defeated Satan. I believe he defeated the grave. And he rose from the dead, but he didn't rise from the dead by himself, Glenn. He rose from the dead with his body pregnant and full of the entire human race. His loins were filled with the entire human race. As God himself chose us to be in him before the foundation of the world, he predestined us to be in him. And then we didn't go into him after the cross. The only way this would work, Glenn, is if we went into him before he died on the cross. because the whole human race had to face this destination and this destiny, this predetermined destiny with death that was spoken when God spoke to Adam and told him, in the day that you eat thereof, you, Adam, the entire human race, you will die. That prophecy, those words were fulfilled almost 4,000 years later when Jesus went to the cross and took the whole human race with him, as we've shared with people for several years now. We all went down, folks. We all went down, and guess what? We all came up. And yes, I will stand with every breath that I have and refute every doctrine that tries to malign and degrade and marginalize the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, the fulfillment of the prophecies, the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of all things, the end of time, which came 2,000 years ago. And somebody knew it was the end of time. They started the calendars all over again, for God's sake. Somebody even back then knew the end of time had taken place, because they stopped time as they knew it, and they started it all over again, because we had a new heaven, a new earth, a new creation was existing now on the face of planet Earth. And that creation, Glenn, has never had a revelation of who we are. Because I tell you, the Adam that God created in the garden is not the race of people that live on this planet now. We are not. We are not that race of people. That race of people died 2,000 years ago. And God pulled us out of that third realm of creation, which was below the angels, according to Hebrews' teaching, and lifted us all up into that God realm and sealed us forever in unity with God. Not us under God, not around God, not before God, but totally one with God. You are one with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you were born of the seed of Islam, whether you were born of the seed of Judaism. You are irrevocably redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the ancient Mayan civilization that doesn't exist anymore. There
yeah.
are relics. We do have evidence of its existence. And that's what I would call Franklin Graham's teaching
yes.
and his perspective. It is a relic of a civilization that does not exist anymore.
I absolutely.
But if you want to see what it looked like, folks, just listen to Franklin Graham or listen to the craziness that comes out of every organized religious doctrine. Look at the face of Islam. Look what it does to their women, to their children. That those are relics of, you know, you hate to call them even civilization because they certainly weren't civil. But that is the face of evil that was done away with. That doesn't exist anymore. We have relics of it. We have evidence of it. But that doesn't exist. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is webcast number 2 for the Summer Pledge Drive for 2010. I just want to remind Sean that we're going to move up the clock for the breaks 10 minutes, as we started 10 minutes late. It was 1 minute before we were ready to go on. We added everything ready to rock and roll, and all of a sudden we had some issues. And what a pleasure it was, Michael, to not worry about what the devil was doing, what God
yeah.
was doing, why this was happening. We just laughed about it and hoped we got on this evening.
Yes. And you know, I was telling Glenn that under the circumstances Sean had explained to me, I thought we'd be at least 30 minutes before we could possibly get on. And then, bam, 10 minutes later. So all the intercessory prayer worked. I started fasting immediately.
Well, we really encourage you, as Michael said, to participate. We only come to you 3 times a quarter asking you for your financial help, and we need it. We are in the process of raising $10,000. We're in the process of seeing 100 people participate, which would be significantly more than we've ever seen before. And I've got a big list of people that we want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly diverse geographical spread all over the world who are participating. But what you need to do is just go to gospelrevolution.com, page down on the Please Donate button, click on there and do your best. One-time gifts. We're looking for participants. The dollar amount isn't as critical as much from our perspective as the number of people to participate. A $5 gift, a $1 gift would be fine. We would be thrilled to receive your contribution. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on the Please Donate button, and do your best. There's many options there, one-time gifts, monthly pledges, and then that is automatically received every month. Right now we are at 38 givers, I guess, which is fantastic. And we're at $4,340 so far.
Yay.
Given to this effort.
$4,340.
So once you make your decision, just know for gifts of between $100 and $199, whether it's a one-time gift or a combination of monthly giving over the course of a year, you'll receive free and postage paid Michael's brand new teaching on Don't Offend the Grace of God. That's recorded in Houston, Texas. And for gifts of $200 or more, you will receive that teaching plus the entire 11 CD series from the Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary, the Book of Romans Revealed. And if you already have downloaded that or have that, you can request another series. Just go to the website on resources, decide what series you want, and we will be happy to substitute the Book of Romans series for that. Let's just go through this fantastic list, Michael. We've got so many emails to get to. By the way, we're taking your calls tonight and your pledges at 1-800-436-3260. We know you're out there listening. If you've contributed, if you want to contribute, if you don't want to contribute, we want to hear from you with your questions, your comments at 1-800-436-3260. The very nimble Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. So here we go. I guess we do have 37.
Drum roll, please.
Pardon me?
I said drum roll, please.
Drum roll, yes, we should have that. We had Gloria and George Johnson from Athens, Alabama. I'm not going to read the totals because, again, it's really almost irrelevant. We do appreciate everybody doing what they're doing so much. But Gloria and George Johnson from Athens, Alabama. Clifford Grubbs from Victorville, California. Brian Dillard from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Mel Martin from Gainesville, Georgia. Gene Jiggle, I'm going to really screw up some of these names.
Giglio.
G-I-G-G-L-I-E-O. Gene from Opelka, Alabama. Thank you, Gene. John Van Sickle from Indianapolis, Indiana. Steve and Mary Keller from Farmington, New Mexico. Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina. Richard and Kay Ebel from Madison, Alabama. Alabama coming in big time.
Yeah.
Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana. Carol Howell from London, Ontario. Lee Callender from Nassau, the Bahamas. Greg Ambergy from beautiful Kings Mills, Ohio. Todd Lang from Valparaiso, Indiana. Wayne Jensen from Bingham Lake, Minnesota. Chris and Glenda Harrington from Nacogdoches, Texas. Beverly Ryan from Indian Wells, California. Bill and Jean Schultz from Pollock Pines, California. Irv Widmer from Salem, Oregon. Roy Muse. Where's Roy live? Does he live in Saskatchewan?
Roy is in Nova Scotia.
In Nova Scotia, that's right. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Bud and Ruth Ramsey from Park River, North Dakota. Arthur Wirch from Brandon, Manitoba. Becky Walker from Marshall, Saskatchewan. Dan Myers from right here in Tampa, Florida. Suzanne Johnson from Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Betty Cochran from Atoka, Oklahoma. Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California, Tressa Martin from Spokane, Washington, James and Gail Gustafson from Estefan, Saskatchewan, Vic Dobrennan from Calgary, Ken Kemp from Abbotsford, British Columbia, Barbara Emig from Beecher, Illinois, Robert and Linda Parks from Mobile, Alabama, and the aforementioned Richard and Pat Salin from beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin. That's a heck of a list.
Yay. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Oh, my gosh. Now, see, this is so impressive. If this was the only 40 people on Earth that believed in the righteousness that is that has been bestowed upon the Earth through Jesus Christ, and knew that the process of becoming righteous was null and void. It was made up from the beginning. What a powerful force on the face of planet Earth. What a powerful force. What a powerful voice on this planet. Now, we know there's a lot more. There's thousands around the world that have the gospel has moved through them. They've moved through the gospel and moved on in with great power all around this planet. And my goodness, what an amazing thing to know that even if it was a group just this size, to know that I know what they know. What a powerful force. What a powerful force.
For them to know what I know that they know that I know that they know. That I know.
I couldn't have said it better.
That's awesome.
Literally.
This is Clyde Klein Online. We're going to take a break and be back. We're going to get into the whole controversy of last week's program. It's been pleasant to deal with, I must say. And get to your emails, your pledges. We've got a pledge online right now, and we will return with more of Glenn Klein Online on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing. This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
I still want to know what it was specifically that is acceptable doctrine in every Bible college and Bible school around the world.
That is, I was making reference directly to that it was by one man's sin that all were made sinners. That one doctrine is completely accepted in all Bible schools around the planet.
Right.
Those that believe in original sin.
Yes.
There, you know, there are there are churches that are going away from, especially the doctrine that is called original sin, because you see, they see the human race and where it is, and what God isn't doing as much as anything. They see that God is not judging or punishing. So because we don't understand the cross, they have to go back and surmise there never was a problem in the first place. But see, that's where we miss the magnanimous work of the cross, is because, you know, even though Pat Robertson constantly is warning people, and even the Dalai Lama, for God's sake, was saying that God must be very displeased with us when the tsunami took place in 2004 that killed over a quarter million people. You see, other people look at that and they know this is not God. They know that this is way too indiscriminate for it to be God, because it's not just, quote, bad people. It's even people of their own beliefs that are dying in these disasters and catastrophes around the world. Innocent children, babies, unborn, everything, and they just know this is not God. Rightfully so, because when judgment came down from God, it was with precision that it came down. God didn't wipe out a whole bunch of, quote, innocent people. The ones he said would die because of his judgment died because of his judgment very specifically. And I'm glad he was, because he said that eventually the entire human race would die under the judgment of God. Oh, man, I tell you, I'm almost speaking in tongues here. The reality that judgment really did take place.
Right, but, you know, and also the fact that God kept his promise when he said after Noah's flood that he would never judge the world again through a flood.
Right.
He didn't. He judged the world on a stake in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. And he took one innocent life out as propitiation for the rest of us for eternity. That is good news, ladies and gentlemen. On this second night of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive 2010, and we have our latest giver online. He's pledged $200. I don't know what it is about Alabama tonight or this pledge drive. I think it's got something to do with the fact where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, because Alabama, ladies and gentlemen, is in the buckle of the Bible Belt here in the good old U.S. of A. And let us go to Decatur, Alabama. We got Pastor Ted online. Ted!
Sir!
Hey,
yes.
Ted.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I can just barely hear you.
I have... Wait, you got your computer on in the background?
I do.
Yeah, why don't you turn that down, because it's on a little bit of delay.
I have it off. I have it all the way down.
All right, okay. Good. So you're going to kick in $200, which we really appreciate. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to email me at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, your shipping address, so we can get you your thank you CDs out post-haste.
Oh, sure. I can do that.
So when you're done, just go to webcast@gospelrevolution.com and then forward me your shipping address, and I'll get that to Jeff, and we'll get you all those CDs out. We can't thank you enough for contributing. Did you have something specific that you wanted to talk about or on your heart? Do you have a question for Mike? What's up?
Yeah, I had a question for Mike, and I also, I wish I'd have been listening a little closer to get all the names of the people in Alabama here. I live very close to most all of them. I thought
well,
I was the only
the
rebel around here.
All you got to do is call the office and talk to Jeff, and he will get you the Gospel Revolution Network. And he'll network you those people.
Yeah, but my question for Mike was, I was going through the series of Hebrews, and the place where it says that they shall be folded up and put away as a garment.
Yeah.
And I understand there's a reference that it uses the same terminology concerning the law, and I would just like to know where that is in the Old Testament, if anyone could tell me.
That is a good question. I know I have it in my notes. I will have to get that. I know that it is actually being quoted from the... There is a quote there that is quite similar, at least, in the Old Testament, and one of the about the prophecies. And I will have to check and see, other than what I made reference to during the teaching of Hebrews, which, as you could tell... One of the main objectives of going through Hebrews that fast was to maintain the train of thought instead of stopping and going into detail. But I have gone into detail about that in particular. I'm just going to have to, I have to defer here because I cannot answer it in, specifically at the moment. But I will check on that because I just don't know the reference.
Okay.
But it is a good question, and we not only will get that to you, but we will address it again next week, if that's cool.
Okay. Well, I hope you don't mind if I call in every week with a question.
Oh,
we
please
would love
do.
It.
You know what? We need a pastor at large, you know? We've got correspondence at large.
I'm not that large, but...
but I tell you what, you know, we should do a segment every week, you know, questions from the pastor. I mean,
yeah,
this
instead
is
of
excellent.
Ask the pastor, we could say the pastor asks.
Yes. So, I mean, Ted's a wonderful man who's embraced the gospel and is walking through this as a pastor. What an amazing journey, you know, and the thing that we want you to know, Ted.
It's been amazing, all right.
I am sure, and as you see, it's going to get even more amazing, I'm sure.
Yeah. Of course,
but,
you know.
Boy, we're on your side, you know.
Most of us were raised, well, Southern Baptist. We're what we call non-denominational.
Yes.
But we've had Methodist, Catholic, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witness. We got them all, you know.
That's
but
wonderful.
Basically, Southern Baptist. And back when Southern Baptists were Southern Baptist, and I have nothing against Southern Baptist except the legalism. And when I was growing up, it was very, very strict.
Yeah.
Legalistic denomination. But we finally caught on and said, hey, something's different. You know, there's something better than this. And so, anyway, we still face a lot of, from week to week, and people love me and I love them, but they still say, you know, a lot of these things are still yet to happen. And I'm saying in my heart, no, that's already happened, you know. And I have a lot of questions as to how to answer these people.
I am sure you
do.
So
that's why I would be calling you every week.
Call every week. And we will go through each one of the questions, and we'll do our very, very best. We know that people's hearts are hungry, and these are major changes and shifts and paradigm shifts.
Oh, yeah, and they're ready. They are ready.
I believe that. And I really think that as the numbers grow, there's going to be a great diversity in how people share this. Not everybody's going to share it the way I do. It'll be all the same gospel, but you know, I have an ability to say things a certain way to reach a certain group of people. But Ted, you're going to have a way of saying it. Glenn definitely has his own way of saying it that reaches people that I could never, I couldn't get through their mindset.
Well, now that yes, you know, I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah,
there are people in my circle that no one has ever been able to talk to them. And they come looking for me.
That's
so, you
awesome.
Know, that makes me feel good, you know.
That's awesome. Makes me feel good, too.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you, Ted, next week, then.
Okay, well, yeah, I've got tons and tons of questions.
All right, well, listen, just drop me your shipping address so we can get you these CDs out, and then just go to the website, and you can donate right online there.
I surely will.
Ted,
right,
you're a righteous
thanks.
Man.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night, Dial. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Absolutely.
That's Pastor Ted from Decatur, Alabama. The number of people from Alabama that are part of this growing list, it's now at 38 people that have contributed to the pledge drive, is remarkable. I mean, I don't know, man. Something's happening at Sweet Home, Alabama. Something's happening in Alabama. Well, that line with Pastor Ted departing is available for you now. We want to hear from you, whether it be with a question that Mike may or may not be able to answer, or a pledge or a contribution. 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting in studio in the Bay of the Holy Spirit. 1-800-436-3260. So that takes us well over $4,500. Now, the time is fleeting, and even though that we started 10 minutes late, we've got to get to this whole situation that occurred last week. And for those of you that heard the program, you know that Michael addressed a video that came our way that had been produced many months ago. But that came our way, I think, the day of the last webcast,
That's true.
And we opted to address it as soon as we were aware of it. And it was basically Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel, who are two evangelical ministers, going through, as Michael said, a session of spiritual mutual masturbation, massaging each other's egos and each other's efforts, criticizing some of the church practices at large, and then specifically dealing with the whole issue of what they called universalism or ultimate reconciliation, which we would not call it that. We call it the gospel. We call it the Bible term, the good news. And Michael addressed the history of their relationships a little bit.
Yeah.
And he also addressed what they were doing and the doctrine that they were teaching. And as for those of you who get the emails, you know that Michael found out because Alan wrote Michael a letter and said that he was wrong on some of his facts, that where Michael had said that he had spoken to him about 3 years ago, that it had been more like 10 years, that the state of their marriage, which Michael had thought was the topic and the issue of their conversation, was actually and had already always been fine for the last 35 years, a happy marriage. And so, Michael, you just flat out came out and said in the email today that you were wrong. You had your facts wrong.
Yeah, you know, and the email that I got from Alan, I actually was very grateful. I responded to his personal email. So I'm not going to go into the details of his personal email, nor will I go into great detail about my personal email back to him. But the thing that really heartened me was that he said that that I had lied, and that was very sad. He thought that was very sad that I had lied. And I thought, you know, now I realize that I have to kind of stand on one foot and reach up to the sky to grab a compliment sometimes, but and grab it out of the wind. But I took that as a compliment that Alan was sad to think that, contrary to evidently what, I mean, it wouldn't have made him sad if it had not been contrary to what he was persuaded about me, that I had lied. And I was heartened by by his email, and as I responded to him and told him that I was very heartened by it. And I agreed with him and let him know. Now, I don't know about any of the rest of you guys, but 10 years ago was 3 years ago to me. That's just fact. I anybody that knows me knows I do this stuff all the time. And so the issue, when he said it was 10 years ago, I stopped to think about it. I thought, wow, it's been 10 years. Now, I don't know how many times that's come out of anybody else's mouth, but believe me, that was the situation here. And even though it was a personal situation that he was making reference to, it had nothing to do with their marriage per se. And I apologized to him for doing that. But, you know, here's the thing. As I thought over this, I thought, well, what if I had just out-and-out lied about Alan and his marriage and about the phone call? What if I had just out-and-out lied?
What if you had just completely made it up out of thin air?
Just made it up. Not failed to remember it accurately, but had just made it up and just absolutely out-and-out lied about this situation. You see, the powerful thing about it is that even if I had lied, it doesn't change the gospel any. I don't have a burden on me to present myself to people in any moral capacity to validate the gospel. I will guarantee you that my righteousness does not measure up to the righteousness of God, but I can also guarantee you that nobody's righteousness on this earth measures up to the righteousness of God. I have just been set free from my own righteousness. I don't have to defend my righteousness. When people say things that they think are disqualifying about my character to preach the gospel, I say, amen. If there is a disqualifier, I am disqualified. But you see the arrogance of somebody saying that they have a moral standard and code in life that validates their ability and their certification to preach the gospel. I'm sorry, that's just ridiculous. Paul made it very clear, even as he approached Jesus about his own weaknesses, which you can make that into whatever you want, and I know we have to make it something that is apropos to something that is not a moral issue. God forbid it would have been a moral issue. I don't know what it was. I'm not going to try to impose my slant on it. We just know that it was weakness, and he implored Jesus to take his weakness away. And Jesus said, no, no, no. And then he explained to Paul that in weakness, he is made strong. That's where God's grace is strong, is in weakness. Now, it doesn't mean, now here's the fallacy of all of this.
Were you referring to Jesus' weakness or Paul's weakness?
Paul's weakness. Paul's weakness makes Jesus strong. That is the strength of the gospel,
yeah,
is our
weakness. I think you said Jesus' weakness.
Excuse me?
I think.
You're breaking up. I'm sorry.
What?
You were breaking up. I don't know what you said.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, it's much better. Let me continue. And he said, in those weaknesses, Jesus said, I am made strong. Now, you see, in Christianity, I taught a series that is recorded on audio tape called Grace, God's Ability. Now, the fact is, that title was taken from me and put on Jim Richards' book, which that's fine. I don't mind sharing my titles. I don't mind sharing, what I've the title of something that I put on a tape series. That's quite all right. I counted it actually as a great compliment that he would put that title on there from the series he listened to that prompted the teaching that he put in the book. Which I would have agreed with probably at the time. I no longer agree with that anymore, though, because what it is affirming and trying to say is that grace takes away your weaknesses. You're no longer weak. Now, folks, please don't fall into that horrible, horrible state of thinking that God has you in a battle with your weaknesses. Your weaknesses, Paul didn't say, oh, wow, I'm going to use grace to overcome all my weaknesses. Paul said, I am going to rejoice in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may be with me. You see, God has not put you in a death grip struggle with yourself, with your good nature, your bad nature. That is just complete bunk. You are not in a desperate struggle against yourself. That's why Jim has to fast and pray all the time, because he's in a battle with himself. I do not fast. I do not pray in the aspect of what Jim's calling prayer. I don't do that. You want to know why I don't do it? I am at peace. Jesus was the fast. The fast was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. He is the fast that breaks the yoke. He is the tithe that brought the blessing. You can't do what only Jesus could fulfill.
He is the prayer that was answered.
Yes, this was all the prayer that was answered, the fast that was answered, the tithe that was fulfilled. And here is my controversy with this doctrine. It completely assails the work of the cross. And I will say that as boldly and as strongly as I can.
Well, and here is the interesting thing. And this was public as Germa Colston posted your response to them on the webcast on their Facebook, and this was an exchange that he and Alan had, was Alan's only comment to criticize what you had to say was that it was 10 years ago, that he's been happily married for 35 years, and they got 1,000 people in their church.
Yeah.
And,
well, I'm glad that's
all. And never once, I mean, the bulk of last week's webcast, as it always is, was about the gospel.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis religious thought, legalism, et cetera, and the way the gospel is implicated in our lives and applied to our lives. That's what the bulk of the webcast was about last week.
Absolutely.
But Alan did not address anything that could be considered doctrinal. It was all his criteria for being a minister. Therefore, validating exactly what you were saying, that video was about covering their own butts.
That's what the video was about. Now, I might say, if I extrapolate generously with myself from Alan's comments, was to get my facts straight. The only things that he addressed were about his personal life and ministry. So I'm taking it that he's saying the rest of my facts are straight. That's the only things that he addressed. Now, we're looking forward to carrying on. I'm asking for continued dialogue with Alan. He has been very gracious in his response to me, and I have been gracious in my response to him. And, we'll see where it goes. I think people can give up on their own righteousness. Folks, if Paul can give up his own righteousness, I'm telling you, Alan Spiegel, Mike Williams, Jim Richards, and Glenn Klein can give up their own righteousness. We can. You can be delivered from your own righteousness and know the power, the freedom of the cross. And I'm not talking about free to go do something, which is their obsession, is with morality. My gosh, it has nothing to do with morality. I lead one of the most boring lives anybody could possibly lead. I think that there's this vision dancing in their heads that I'm out at, gay bars every night. Not that there's anything wrong. Let me tell you, if I wanted to go to a gay bar, I would. If I wanted to go every night, I would. I just don't enjoy it. I am sorry to disappoint anybody. I just don't enjoy it.
Well, Kemp wrote from Vancouver, he said, Mike, you are the only pastor I know that admits when he is wrong. Good for you, Mike. Makes me respect you even more.
Oh, that's awesome.
This just in from Kate and Jeff Benham, who are listening in Australia. Great stuff tonight. Of course, it's the morning over there. She says, I'm getting all kinds of great lines for album number 3.
We love you guys.
Well, we're going to take our last break of the evening and be back. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. We've got another donation to talk about. But get on the phone. Let us hear from you. We know there's a lot of people listening. There's a lot of activity online. 1-800-436-3260 when we return on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Or you can make a contribution to the Summer Pledge Drive 2010 for a gift of $200 or more. You'll receive that 11-CD series. Help this effort towards our goal of 100 participants over these 21 days and $10,000, as you'll notice, significantly down from some of our past goals. But with the economy worldwide being what it is, we've adjusted our expectations as well. So for gifts of $200 or more, not only do you get the Book of Romans Revealed series that Robert Moore was just talking about, but you also get the brand new teaching, Do Not Offend the Gospel, or the Grace of God. Yeah. Don't offend it, that Michael taught in Houston. Here's an email, Michael, from Jeff and Kate in Australia. They say, hello, Glenn and Mike. Jeff and I just wanted to express how much we enjoyed last week's show. The entire segment was so powerful, just saturated with the truth of the gospel. We loved it. It was great to hear Mike's passionate response. We also enjoyed Jackie Bernard's email. I want to sing that. The new Gospel Revolution album should be available within a month, so we are working hard towards that at the moment. We've had lots of opportunities to share the gospel as we are telling people about our trip to the States. We love the diverse reactions people have when they hear the gospel of grace and peace. Especially interesting if they know Mike is gay. Oh, my God. What's their problem? Homosexuality would have to be the biggest log-in-your-eye point of prejudice in Christianity, Kate says. Anyway, just wanted to say we love you all and are missing our beautiful humans in the States. We loved and cherished each and every one of you and truly appreciated the honor of spending time with you. We want to do it again very soon. Namaste, Kate Benham. By the way, namaste, she defines as the essence and character of God in me, acknowledge and respects the essence and character of the Almighty in you.
That's awesome.
That's a good phrase, ladies and gentlemen. That's
well, I tell you now, Kate, if you're listening, I've got a new title for a song for your Gospel Revolution, your Revolution CD that's coming out next year. You got a title one, I Cannot Be a Christian Cause I'm Holy and I'm Righteous.
That's definitely going to have a country twang to it. I cannot be a Christian because I'm holy and righteous. And then good luck, Kate, in trying to rhyme a word with righteous.
We give you poetic license to remark my words any way you like.
As we always do. As we always say about the CDs that come out of this effort, the copyright law is that the law is you must copy it, and you are right to do so, and give them out to whosoever you will. Well, we got a bunch of emails as we can continue to encourage folks to call at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting to take your call. It's about quarter after the hour on the East Coast. Actually, it's a quarter after the hour wherever you're listening, but it's after 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. I've had a little bit of jet lag, et cetera, coming back from the West Coast to the East Coast. But let's get to some questions, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. This question is coming from Abby. She says, Mike, is this issue, gay marriage, win or religious? I'll start all over. Is this a gay win and religious lose issue? I cannot see how this is a win for anybody. If a judge can rule over what most people voted for, it seems to me a judge will one day take away my freedoms. And that's from Abby. She's referring, of course, to a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it on the webcast, but a federal judge in California ruled that the California law that had been passed by referendum by the majority of California voters that they would not have gay marriage was overturned. So what she's saying, she's asking if a judge can do this, is this a win for the gay community and a loss for the religious community? And if a judge can do that, what's the next freedom that they'll take away?
Excellent, excellent question. And let me answer the question first. It's not a win or a lose for anybody. It is a loss for everybody on all sides that this has taken place this way. Number one, the thought that a group of people, a majority, can get together and vote on the rights of another individual is as anti-American, anti-constitutional as can possibly be. To think that a judge has the right to affirm or take away someone's rights is absolutely ridiculous. The reason that this is being determined by a referendum and by judges is because the legislature of our federal and our state governments don't have the balls to stand up and say, this is the Constitution. We have to stand for the Constitution. I know you don't like homosexuals. We know you don't like where the mosque is being built. But you got to take the emotion out of it. Folks, I can agree with the passions of everybody pertaining to the mosque in Lower Manhattan. But God forbid that we ever start determining our constitutional position and what must be done based on the emotions of anything, no matter how justified the emotion is. We can't do that, folks. We have to allow the Constitution to be the Constitution. We should be having legislators to make these decisions based on the Constitution and not having to have this passed off to the courts and not have it passed off to, especially not to have rights determined by referendum. That is just ridiculous. Now, thank God, but she's right. If a judge can come in and rule one way or the other about somebody's rights, we can't have that happening. It just can't happen. We need to have legislators that have the stick-to-itive enough to stand up for what the Constitution actually says, in spite of how I feel about it, in spite of whether or not it offends me what somebody else does. We have to have the foundation of this to be what is already written, which is the guaranteed freedom of all persons and the equality of all persons. We may not like what somebody else does, and you don't have to have legislation about everybody's rights, but the one thing you cannot do is to make one human being less in the eyes of the law. You can't have a human being less in the eyes of the Constitution than somebody else. We are equal. We are equal.
It would be fine if our government was set up as a true democracy where everybody would vote on everything.
Absolutely, but we are not a democracy.
The reason that the founders of this country didn't do that way is they built in a system where the rights of the minority, whether it be a sexual orientation minority or a racial minority or religious minority, a gender minority, would be protected.
Absolutely.
And that is what is evolving this country, is that concept.
Yes.
And so we don't have a democracy in the United States. We have a republic
mm-hmm.
that the population elects leaders to go to their state capitals and to the nation's capital to make the law. Then there's a judiciary in place to, when a lawsuit is brought, to question a specific law, if it is constitutional or not, to make the rulings. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
So, yes, a judge or the Supreme Court, the nine judges that are on the Supreme Court make the rulings as to whether something is constitutional or not.
Absolutely.
That's our system of government in this country.
Yep.
Well, this dovetails nicely, this letter from Don Keyes. He writes, which will tie nicely into the gospel and the issues of the gospel as applied to our life. He says, I have a question for Mike regarding homosexuality and public policy today. Mike says that a homosexual is not to be judged, and I understand this. However, he also implied that it is not something to be condemned today as public policy. He praised the court decision in San Francisco that supported gay marriage. I have never heard someone say, is it okay to steal, or is it okay to bear false witness, or is it okay to murder, all things condemned by the Mosaic Law, and I believe for good reason. But homosexuality was also prohibited by the Mosaic Law, and I would also assume for good reason. Does Mike believe it is okay to practice homosexuality? I think we answered that one on last week's show when Mike said he does not practice homosexuality. He's got it down real good. But continuing with Don's question, he says, if it is not wrong and these practices are normal and virtuous, then as a society we should not be speaking or discriminating against them. But if it is harmful, as the Mosaic Law seemed to claim, then we should certainly speak out against it as we would against adultery, idolatry, lying, stealing, etc. Am I not correct? Thanks for entertaining my question. Any help would be appreciated. Thanks, and that's from Donald Keyes.
Well, Donald, first off, let me answer your question, and that is you are incorrect. You are wrong. Now, let me say why. That's what happens is people become selective about the Mosaic Law. So are we not supposed to pass laws against pork? Are we not supposed to pass laws against everything then in social life that the Mosaic Law condemns? Obviously not.
But they are validating their opinion that homosexuality and the equality of gays and lesbians in our society should not happen because the Bible says. So maybe we should have laws against shellfish. Maybe we should have laws against children for being disobedient to their parents. Maybe we should have laws against men having sex with their wives who are too close to their menstruation cycle.
Yeah, and I'll call on Dr. Phil and let people ask once we do that, how's that working for you? it don't work. You want under Sharia law? Go put yourself under Sharia law, because it would be no different. It would be no different if we did that. Now, see, here's the thing, folks. When we begin to make laws for civilized society, we pass laws that causes someone to that keeps someone from infringing on the rights of another. All right? So the laws against murder. Why is murder and homosexuality not the same thing in civil law? Or even in biblical law. Now, biblical law puts it in, let me say exactly the way that Donald said it, Mosaic law, because that is where it is from. It should not be biblical law at all. It should be Mosaic law. But the difference between, now you see, it was amazing that we lumped in murder the other ones that he mentioned, and every one of those are laws that if you don't keep these laws, you are treading on the rights of someone else. First off, there's only two and a half, if you will, only two and a half of the laws of Moses that are even in our laws at all. And thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal. And the about bearing false witness, you can bear false witness all day long if you want to. It's not against the law. It's against the law to do it in a courtroom. So we have two and a half, if you will, give you two and a half of them. So are you really saying, Donald, that you think we ought to take all of these Mosaic laws and apply them to society? How many places would we be taking away people's rights to do as they please? You're supposed to be able to do as you please in this society. Now, I understand when the church starts preaching, you're not supposed to be able to do what you please. You're supposed to try to please God. But you see, God is already pleased. God is already pleased. So the only laws we should be passing are laws that if I do this, I'm going to be taking away the rights of somebody else. Murder, obviously, is one of those things. If I lie in court, I am attempting to take away the right of the person to have the truth be heard in a court of law. So those are the only things. Those are the only things in civil law in our nation that ought to be on the law books, are those things where that if I do them, I am treading on the rights of someone else. Otherwise, if that is not the standard, then we're going to have to go through 613 laws of Mosaic law and impose it upon a nation, which I guarantee you will totally destroy the Constitution of the United States if we did it. It would completely obliterate the Constitution if Mosaic law was imposed. You have to understand it would be imposed over and above the Constitution. It would be Mosaic law in charge of this great nation of ours, not the Constitution of the United States.
Right, and that's what he was saying, was should these things be part of public policy? And no, they should not be part of public policy. People should be able to commit idolatry. They do it every Sunday and
absolutely.
Wednesday night in churches, for God's sakes.
Absolutely.
They should have the right to do that. People should have the right to commit adultery or not, as far as public policy is concerned. Whether it's good personal policy, that's a whole different matter.
Absolutely.
Let's remember that Jesus took those laws that he said the Pharisees had watered down and taught them the way they were supposed to be taught. If you committed adultery in your heart, then you were guilty of it. So let's make a law, Michael, that if anybody has a sexual thought apart from those that they've been legally married to. By the way, nobody's been biblically married ever in this society. But let's make that a law, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's make it a law that every male has to be circumcised on the eighth day. Let's do that. Because certainly, that was the start of everything. That's the sign of the covenant, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
It's really absurd. And,
yeah.
Don, all I could say is we really appreciate you writing and
good
asking
question.
Your question. I think it was asked honestly and forthrightly. And we address these issues all the time. So just hang in there, stay with us, keep listening, and keep writing. And keep giving, folks. This is the second webcast of the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive. We are asking for your financial help tonight. For these 21 days, this is actually the eighth day of the 21 days, and we are at $4,640. We had another gift come in from Arizona. Let us hear from Arizona. I want to be accurate. This is from Billy
Thompson.
John
McCain, he put $20 million in his own campaign. Maybe he'll put a million in the gospel.
$20 million of other people's dollars. Ochuka City, Arizona. $100 from Billy Thompson. Thank you, Billy.
Awesome, Billy. Thank you.
You're going to be receiving Mike's teaching on don't offend the grace of God. And just, I'm sure that you've been in touch with Jeff to get your shipping address to there. Also, with Pastor Ted's from Decatur, Alabama, $200. That brings us to $4,640 for the pledge drive so far. But we still got extra time because we're going overtime because we started late. So we got about 10 minutes left, so it's still time to get on the phone. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. So we Kate has already done it, Michael. Two-year title in a country twang, I cannot be a Christian because I'm holy and righteous. We're perfect and unblameable, and God's not going to smite us. That's phenomenal.
And she can make that work, too. That's the sad
thing. Oh, no, I know she will. I know she will.
She can make that work.
More questions on the email. This is from Jennifer Bradham in beautiful South Carolina.
Yay.
Haven't heard from Jen for a while. She says, I've been meaning to ask Glenn and you, Mike, about this, but haven't had the time. Growing up Baptist, we tended to ignore stuff about demonic possession, etc. However, since coming to college, I've met people who claim to have been in uncomfortable situations with dark powers. Someone I know was into witchcraft in high school and still has struggles with it sometimes. In addition, last year I had an honest friend ask if I had any discomfort with celebrating Halloween because of this issue. I recently got into the Twilight Saga dealing with vampires, and some people have avoided it for the same reasons. Do you think demons or dark powers can have any control in today in light of the gospel? Is it possible to feel under oppression in your mind from them? I would also like to hear your input on reading horoscopes and visiting psychics. Thanks for your time, and as always, have a great week. And that's from Jen Bradham in South Carolina.
Excellent, excellent. Query there, Jennifer. My goodness. First, let me affirm that I believe that Jesus defeated all spiritual powers. The validity that is given to them is reconstituted through man's unbelief in the work of the cross. Now, the thing of it is that we have very powerful and vivid minds and hearts and imaginations. And I can tell you that as a man who was once called America's foremost authority, I was introduced as America's foremost authority on demonology, that I can tell you that everything I saw and experienced was a paper dragon. One of Kate's titles. It frightened. It looked big. It looked ferocious. It sounded that way. But I can tell you that virtually every one of those things that I experienced in that, whether it was to me, by me, in deliverance or dealing with demons or the dark powers or witchcraft or all of that. And man, I tell you, if you think witchcraft has a power and you start dealing in it, you're going to feel it. It's going to have an effect on your mind. Now, see, here's the thing. I could get involved in witchcraft up to my teeth, and I'll guarantee you it will not affect me mentally or emotionally. I could go to a seance every night of my life, and it's not going to disturb me mentally or emotionally. I could have my palm read every day. It is not going to disturb me mentally or emotionally. I could have tarot cards read for me every day. It is not going to, number one, it's not going to sway me, and it is not going to disturb me mentally and emotionally. Now, for those of you who believe in witchcraft, stay away from it. Because your belief in it is what is giving it any credence at all. Your belief in it is what's causing you to feel the rush, the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, even inspire you to writhe around in the floor, choking and all of this stuff. Believe me, I've seen it all. And it is all manufactured. It is all manufactured in the heart and the mind of the person who believes in those things. Now, if you have somebody that says, oh, I don't believe in that stuff at all, and you have them come in and witness that as though it's completely involuntary, you're going to have people say, oh, my God, I believe in it now. But you see, we believe that all of these things, we bring them across. Believe me, I did this for years and cast out devils almost every day of my life. But you see, we infer that all of this is fact. And the inference of fact and the inference of spiritual truth creates an emotional and a mental response that validates the experience. Now, you see, it's important that you understand exactly what I said. I could go to a seance and turn out the lights, be as spooky and weird as you want to be. It's not going to affect me. Not going to happen. And you might weird me out and me say that I really don't want to be in here. But not
why,
because
why
the devil's there, but because
you?
People get weird in those things. You don't know what's going to happen, especially when people are persuaded of something and somewhere inside of them they're wanting to validate that this is real, even if they have to get really, really weird.
But why would it not have an effect on you?
Because I don't believe it. Because I believe that Jesus defeated every spiritual power there was to be defeated 2,000 years ago. There is nothing that has power over me. I can participate all I want because I'm not a believer. I can participate because I am a believer in the work of the cross. And again, I would tell you, if you know somebody who believes in this stuff, tell them to stay away from it because their mind and emotions are going to be affected. They're going to begin to wrap their mind around the emotions of it, around the experience of it, and they will be validating things that absolutely are not true, as Jennifer's friends are doing at school.
Seems to be contrary to your advice to Christians about staying in the church as long as they can stand it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is a difference. There really is a difference because with being involved in Christianity, you see, they're teaching you a form of self-righteousness that if you listen to it long enough, it'll bring you to the end of yourself. And with these other spiritual things, I mean, it can take people's lives from them. It has happened. And not because the devil got in and got control. Let me say this again. It's not because you have to be afraid of the power of the devil, but the things that happen through the minds and the wills of people who submit themselves to the emotion, not to the devil, to the emotion of their belief in these things.
Yeah, but Michael, people have died, and you're well aware of this, while trying to stick it out in Christianity as well.
Absolutely. But I have reaffirmed that if you believe in it, I would warn somebody if they believe in it, they should stay away from it. The ability to handle any of those things is the fact you don't believe in it. And then you're not going to be bothered by it. I'm talking strictly about what you're about the way that these things affect people's hearts and minds.
Yeah,
and
as we've often talked about, the fact that most Christians are functioning on some level and have not committed suicide is the very proof that they really don't believe what is being taught or what they say they believe.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with Christianity is that there ain't nobody sitting there that really believes it. They just don't. And when you get involved to where that all you got to believe is that, you know, that the table moved or whatever, and you're totally in 100%, the ability of the mind to take you places that really are you know, proven out to be unsafe. And like you said, Glenn, the thing that protects Christians from the calamity of their belief is that I don't believe it anyway.
Oh my God, this is so much fun! You know, it is a very, very strange person that has so much fun with this stuff.
Agreed.
Well, we got a lot of strange ones out there, ladies and gentlemen. All over the planet, they're contributing. They're participating. They're asking questions. They're challenging us. We need your help. We want your help. We ask for your help. And we do that in many different ways, but over this three-week period, each quarter during our pledge drives, we ask for your financial help. And so that's what we've done again tonight. We will continue to do that during the course of the next 13 days or so during this 21-day pledge drive. We are approaching the halfway mark, so we're getting there.
Yay.
And we will ask for your continued participation to keep the momentum going in a positive direction. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on the Please Donate button in the middle of the homepage. Go to that page and do your best. And then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with what you did, with your shipping address, so that we can get you out the CDs, the thank you CDs, for $100 to $199. You will receive free and postage paid Mike's teaching on Don't Offend, the Grace of God. And for $200 or more, you'll receive that teaching plus the 11 CD teaching on the Book of Romans Revealed, the exhaustive study of the entire Book of Romans that Michael did at the convention in Calgary. Victor Brennan sending out a letter from Grace Conferences up there in Canada, encouraging people to get that teaching, which we so appreciate, Vic. And so be it.
So be it. I think that's the final word for tonight.
Well, the final word is going to come from Jeff. He says about the Mosaic Law. He says, if the Mosaic Law was strictly, no, perfectly enforced, eventually everyone would be executed, depending on how efficient we were at enforcing it.
That's which is
true.
What the Mosaic Law was given for, is to lead us to the conclusion that everybody had to die.
Yep.
We were all executed, folks, already. There was an execution that took place, and we were all executed.
We're all dead people.
We're dead people, made alive.
We're dead to sin. Yay. Want to thank Jeff Robertson for that and for being the administrator of the Gospel Revolution and for being my friend. Want to thank Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing, and scrambling to get this thing on tonight and for everything that he does. Thanks to all of our supporters and friends across the globe. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's keep this thing going. And until next time, oh, by the way, thank you, Mikey.
Thank you, Glenn. And Sean O'Halloran.
Good time was had by all. Until we speak again, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.